Welcome to the Calvary Community Church Podcast. For more content and information about Calvary, please visit our website at calvaryhouston.com.
Wow, we're just blessed. It's just a great day and great to be together as the family of God. Today I want to talk about celebrating impact for the King, celebrating impact for the King. And I'm going to talk about some of the ways that we make an impact as a community of faith, both locally and globally today. I was in a meeting several years ago with Somebody Cares and Doug Stringer, and we had someone that came to share with us, and he shared something that has stuck with me now these 2 or 3 years. He said, "Those that tell the story control the narrative. Those that tell the story control the narrative." And he looked at this room full of world changers and impact makers that are having impact through their ministries, both locally and across the globe. And he said, you know, in the business world, they'll do one thing that creates goodwill, and they know how to talk about it, how to promote it, how to inform people about it. He said, but you guys are on the front lines every day doing amazing things, doing great works for God and His kingdom, and no one knows what you're doing because you don't ever take the time to tell the story because you're on to the next thing and you're doing what God has you to do. And he said, we have got to learn in ministry. We're not tooting our horns. We're not trying to be prideful. But he gave that phrase. He said, unless we tell our stories, what the world is going to keep hearing is hearing a narrative that the church is redundant or irrelevant or not needed at all. As a matter of fact, there is a city in the greater Houston area that just a few years ago, the municipal leaders in that city decided that they would pass an ordinance where there would no longer be any churches allowed in that community to start new churches there. And as soon as possible, they were going to remove the churches because they saw the church as takers rather than givers. Now, why did they do that? It's because they didn't understand without the church and what it was doing, you'd not have compassion ministries, you'd not have the mentors in the public school system, you would not have all these different things that were making an impact in that city in the midst of greater Houston. And so they did not know. So Calvary, today, I want to stir in you a celebration. This is Thanksgiving. You can't be grateful for something of which you're not aware. And so I want us to be a people who walk out of here not celebrating us, but celebrating the impact that our King is doing in us and through us for the sake of His kingdom, for the sake of His purposes in the earth. And I pray, whether you're in this room or you're online, I pray that there'll actually be an impartation of gratitude and a celebratory heart and spirit as we spend time together talking about the impact that God is doing through us. So Lord, I'm going to ask you for a gift this morning. I pray that you would anoint our words, and I pray that you would seal in our hearts the revelation of how important we are to you. We were singing this morning about how important you are to us, but Lord, we are because you have said who we are. And Lord, we've come to this place recognizing that you birthed this church 39 years ago. You declared in your purposes that you had plans, that you had assignments for us, not apart from you, but in partnership with you in the earth. And so, Lord, we've been on an incredible ride. The journey has been awesome. And we want to pause, and we want to acknowledge you. We want to express our gratitude to you, because, Lord, we believe that the best is yet to be. We believe that greater is the latter house than the former. And so we ask you to touch us today, to speak to us and encourage our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We are a people, our group identity is we are a people who partner with the Lord Jesus Christ together with others in our spheres of influence and in the earth. If you have your Bibles, turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. You might even have this one memorized and don't need to turn there. The scripture says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. You see in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, when there's an appearance of the Lord in the temple in Isaiah's day, and right in the presence of Isaiah, the angels and the seraphs are declaring that the whole earth is full of the glory of God. The reality is God is here. God is near. When you read scripture, we read that this morning in Philippians chapter 4, God is near. The reason why we can be grateful is because we're not alone. God is here. God is near. God is with us. But there's a lack of understanding. There's a lack of knowing. There's a lack of experiential reality that identifies, I know that God is here and his glory is filling the whole earth. There are some people that can see it, but most cannot. And so one day there's going to be a revelation of this knowledge. There's going to be an experiential encounter with this reality that the whole earth is filled with the glory of our God. So today what we're going to do is we're going to catch a glimpse of the impact that we're having in the earth in partnership with King Jesus and in his kingdom. And today, I'll be honest, it's an opportunity for us to celebrate, and I want to cast vision. I want you to have vision of what God can and do in through our lives. So celebrating impact. When I think about impact, I think about first the different ministries of our church and what's going on. Our children's ministry, there's kids club, girls and boys club. There's kids church, there's VBS, there's Summer Blast. Our children's ministry is impacting the lives of children and families who need to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and need to know his people. And I'm so grateful for Becky Gressett, our children's pastor. I'm so grateful for our children's ministry team who have labored for years and decades to express the love of God to children. And we run, I've told you this before, we run on Wednesday nights, depending on what time of the year it is, around 50 children and 50 youth who primarily don't ever come into this service on Sunday mornings. But I want you to know they're being touched with the love of Jesus Christ and they're being impacted by his glory. I mean, we just did a baptism the other day with our youth and they've done baptisms with our children. It's just exciting to see what God is doing in our children's ministry. We're also excited about our youth ministry. We call it our youth, our Thrive Student Ministries. And they're led by Jane Winnie, our youth pastor, and they've got a great students ministry team that works with her and partners with her. They do Life House encounters, Youth Serve. We do our Encounter God's Presence youth camp with other groups from across the area. And most of you don't know this, but our youth ministry is our farm system for future worship team members in the body of Christ under the tutelage of Mandy Rushing. And so that's a gift that our student ministry is to us, and we want what they've got. They've got a fire for God. They've got a love for God. And again, a lot of the young people that we're reaching on Wednesday nights, we don't see here on Sunday mornings, but I'm grateful for you guys who do come and you guys that are here with us this morning. Our journey groups. Our journey groups are our first line of pastoral care here at Calvary. It's where our lives are known and where we can know others, where we can receive ministry and give ministry. Obviously, that happens in many different places and venues at Calvary, but this is one of the primary places where we express true Christian community, and we grow in our capacity for authenticity. I'm so proud of the groups and how they care for one another, and they care and express and meet needs, not just within our community, but also the community in general. I mean, that really came to the forefront when March of 2020, things just changed overnight with the world shutting down, or at least our country shutting down because of the pandemic. And the way that our groups reached out and pastored and loved and connected. You know, I told you we had a dream of more than 15 years of getting online and being able to stream our services. And when the pandemic hit, we weren't online. Joshua reminded me the very first service that we did online from this place, we used a little webcam. That was how technical we were and how far behind the curve we were. But you know, as I thought about what happened in 20 and 21, I thought, you know, I can't imagine what it would have been like to build a small group system in a church for a time such as this. Praise God, we have healthy small groups. We have healthy ministries. We have great small group leaders at every level of our church. And needs were being met and people were taking care of one another. And, you know, God gave us some gifted people like Michael McGee and others that helped us to get online. And we could learn that part of it and do that. But I'm just so proud. Our audiovisual people work super hard. But I want you to know, I'd rather be building that than some churches had to go back and try to restructure and build small groups into their church in the midst of the pandemic because they realized they weren't built to minister to the needs in their neighborhoods, in their homes. And so Calvary, I'm so excited about what we do in ministry through our small groups. I'm excited about Margaret Petrie, our small group pastor and our volunteer coordinator. She just does a great job here. Then we have the Haregrove Partnership Team. As you know, back, I guess it was 2008, we partnered with Copperfield Church. Actually, they began to work at Haregrove Elementary in 2008. We joined them in 2009. The pastor at that time at Copperfield Church, Larry Womack, I like to say, he just leaned into us like a happy elephant for several years, saying, why don't we model unity and let's do partnership together? Most churches are just adopting a school and partnering with that school, but let's do it together. And so we joined them a year later, and we've been going strong since that time in partnership and making a difference. We actually got into the partnership in local schools because of a vision that came to Greater Houston through an organization called Mission Houston. And they had the Whole and Healthy Children Initiative. You see, they believed that God wanted Houston to be as famous for whole and healthy children as for NASA. And if Houston doesn't train and equip and educate its children to be a part of the next generational workforce, then Houston will be left behind and businesses will not participate here because they don't have an educated workforce that can participate in the decades and the century ahead. And so that vision, I just was enamored with this vision that one of the highest leverage activities that we could do in Greater Houston is to change the trajectory of children for good. And if we did that, then we could change Greater Houston. And so partnering with schools has been a part of what we're doing, and we're trying to serve in mentoring, and we provide holiday meals for families like our Thanksgiving blessing for about 30 families, I believe it was, people that wouldn't have anything to, for Thanksgiving celebration in their families. We provide clothing for the schools through the clothing drive and book drive. We provide teacher appreciation opportunities. We volunteer. As the staff tells us, there are different needs. And by the way, the principals at Haregrove had told us that when they're doing their hiring for people to come to an at-risk school with 89% of at-risk children, a Title I school, she has a hiring advantage over other principals because of our partnership with the school. I like that kind of tangible expression. Amen? And then we've been recognized at the state level for the impact changing the trajectory of the school where it used to score down at this level, and it's in the top 3 to 5 in the state in terms of academic performance. And so, Calvary, your volunteering, your service, your love, no, we can't evangelize there, but I want you to know when they're around a Christian who is salt and light, it makes an impact and conversations happen. Amen? And it is great to partner with the team there and to pray with them. Then through Pastor Steve's ministry, Steve Meeks, we have the Prophetic Life Workshop classes, and Pastor Steve is still an amazing gift to us. Amen? He teaches on Wednesday nights. He releases impartation. He has a significant anointing for leadership on his life, as well as not only the significant anointing, but he has this teaching gift and this prophetic gifting, and his classes are full of wisdom, revelation, and impartation. And right now, you know that he's serving the body at large by being the interim pastor at Willow Church in Lake Jackson. So that's something that we celebrate, impact. And then we send and pastor missionaries all over the world. Calvary supports different missionaries and ministries, and we do that to help reach the unreached people groups who need the Lord Jesus. And we partner with ministries and missionaries through prayer, through finances, and through our support efforts with them. So on that, if everybody would just grab that supporter response card, and by the way, if you're online, you can go onto the headings and you can choose different ministries and click on the missions area. The supporter response card is there. I want you to see these names. Now, these are people that we're closely associated with that we asked you to think about praying about, maybe sowing into them a special Christmas blessing in this season. David Carter, who we've known since the 80s, is a part of the ministry Release the Kingdom. They minister revival, renew, and refreshing to people throughout Greater Houston. And they're also used profoundly among the juvenile detention centers in Fort Bend County and beyond. Daniel and Marlene De Jesus have been a part of our church since the 1990s. They are involved in prison ministry, discipleship, and evangelism, significant anointing. Eric and Wendy, they are a part of Beyond Ministry, and they're reaching unreached peoples in one of the largest unreached people nations in the whole world. Anna is a ministers in the refugee ministry in Europe, again, reaching the unreached. We have Jean and Renee Hobb, who went out from Calvary. They're part of Family Life Ministries, strengthening marriages and the family around the world. Chase and Megan are actually serving the Lord in a restricted access nation. They're serving the Lord there to reach the unreached. We have people who serve in our nation, like Angela Petrie, who's on staff at the International House of Prayer up in Kansas City. We've got a long-term relationship with them up there. It's a tremendous opportunity. Then Michael Newman, the Christian Coalition for Reconciliation, ministers wholeness to those who struggle with their sexual identity, and he's also an anointed evangelist. We've actually seen him win people to Christ as we come on our Thanksgiving and Christmas blessings, and I think Michael speaks five languages fluently, and so he helps us to translate and pray for people. What a gift Michael Newman is to us in our partnership. So there's different ways to give when you think about missions. You can use this card and you can fill it out, you can mail it in, or you can use the credit card form there. You can give online at calvaryhouston.com through the Ministry One app. You can also, at the end of our services, you can place your gift in the offering envelope. But Calvary, we are a church that God told us to not just send our money anymore, but he wants us involved personally in world missions. He did that in 1987, and then in 1990, we began sending our first teams to Latvia and other places in the earth, and we've been involved in world missions since then. Today, I want to also highlight Myanmar and just give you a report. First of all, I want to thank you for your love. You stepped up in a significant way last year to support Emmanuel Calvary Church missionaries and church planners throughout Myanmar with monthly support. You're helping to meet a significant need and opportunity that's before us. The ICC team that works with Pastor John, there's about 30 missionaries and church planners and evangelists, and they're reaching the unreached peoples in Myanmar, which is mostly a Buddhist nation, and they have also Muslim peoples living there, and they're going and living in the villages, and they can do what you and I cannot do. We can't go and live there and reach them as effectively. We don't know the languages, the different ethnic dialects, but we're getting to support people who are making an impact in a nation that needs to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you know, the nation of Myanmar has suffered terribly under a military dictatorship or coup that occurred last February. And the military has destroyed people's property, possessions, transportation. Many people have lost their lives. Some people have lost their freedom. And the government has endorsed theft and looting and terrorism by the military throughout the nation against their own people. The military is actually destroying its own nation. Even in the midst of this crisis, what we've been doing is we've been helping to meet emergency needs, and you've given to offerings, but they have a monthly need. They can't work, and if they can't work, they can't eat. And so we've been sending over for years, $100 a month to help these different families. And we've been trying to increase that amount. Some of you have been able to help $150 a month to help meet those needs. But we're looking for people who will give any amount to help these missionaries, either on a monthly basis or an annual gift or whatever can be done. Again, our goal is to raise $1,800 per missionary family, pastor family, evangelist family, as they serve in Myanmar, which is about $150 a month. So I just want to say thank you for your generosity. Thank you. A number have stepped up and are helping us to meet this need. And if you have any questions or want to know more about what we do there, you can call me or email me anytime, and I'll talk with you about that. Or you can give online and just mark it for Myanmar Designated Gifts. So Myanmar Designated Gifts. That's the fund that will help us to support these people on a monthly basis. So we're involved in pastoring and partnering with missionaries in our nation and around the world to reach people, especially unreached people. We're actually involved in reaching the unreached in Asia, Europe, and in Latin America and other nations of the earth. And we're also partnered with missions and ministries, both locally and globally. I think about Somebody Cares and Doug Stringer, whom God, through a prophetic word by Jim Gall. We've had church members involved with Somebody Cares and Doug Stringer going to the streets and reaching the unreached and people that need to know Jesus in the Montrose area and others since the late 80s. And then in the late 90s, Jim Gall, in speaking here, gave a prophetic word and told us to get behind this guy named Doug Stringer. And he began to talk about Doug being one. He's like a string. He's a string, and he's used to string pearls together, talking about unity and networking. And this is the net that works. Most people don't know this, but when there's a disaster, the government is only as effective as the networks that are already in place, and the church is the most effective network that's in place in our communities. And so oftentimes, the government will come, FEMA will come and talk to Doug and to Somebody Cares in the network to try to figure out how to get water or resources or supplies or generators to areas because they can't get into those areas. And the Somebody Cares network is already there. And so they're an amazing testimony for Christ, very powerful ministry. They're into prayer initiatives, compassion, evangelism, disaster relief, and leadership development. And Doug's a great friend, and we get to be a part of the most impactful compassion evangelism ministry, disaster relief ministry, I believe, in the whole world, right here in our hometown of Greater Houston. Then there's another group that's just kicked off recently called the Greater Houston Prayer Council. Some of you don't know this, but our church has actually been given an assignment by the Lord to labor in the boiler room of prayer because we know that nothing happens without God's people praying and agreeing with Him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations." When He identified one of the primary assignments, one of the characteristics that would describe the people of God, Jesus said, quoting back to Isaiah, "My house will be a house of prayer for all nations, and there will be joy in my house." And so God gives us an opportunity and a privilege, and we've served the Lord in this boiler room, in this place of praying. We've been giving fire on the altar. We've been interceding for decades for God's purposes locally and globally. That's an important assignment that we have as a congregation in the earth, and that assignment has not lifted. That's why we have the prayer room and we have different corporate prayer times. Well, the Greater Houston Prayer Council is coming along and identifying different expressions of prayer, perpetual prayer that are happening in Houston, in order to fuel that and inflame that so that we can have that as an altar before the Lord, prayer, perpetual prayer across Greater Houston, identifying that and strengthening that and promoting that. So we're actually a part of that ministry. We're also a part of the Union Baptist Association, which is focused on church planting, church revitalization, replanting. And it's a ministry that's a collaborative of a network of churches focused on the strategic advance of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Did you know that most churches in our city and in America are declining or dying? And so church revitalization, church replanting, church renewal, helping people to get a vision. Like in the inner city of Houston, we have some churches that as the church grew older, the members could no longer afford to fix it up. And so what they did, they sold a whole city block of buildings to people that didn't know Jesus. And we lost a foothold in that area that because of increasing costs, we'll never be able to buy and build a facility there like we had. Why is that? Because the church lost its vision of what it was there. The community around the church changed ethnically, and the people forgot that they were supposed to go and make disciples of all nations, and they lost that vision. UBA is one of the cutting-edge ministries to help churches recognize the strategic location that God has put them in to make a difference, not just for a decade or two or three, but for generations. And so it's our privilege to be a part of this group and what they do. We're also a part of India Gospel Outreach with Vals and Abraham. In the next few years, India will pass China in population. It'll be the most populous nation on the earth. There are more than 28,000 postal codes in India, and India Gospel Outreach has a vision to plant a church, in other words, in walking distance of all the unreached peoples in India. And we've been partnering with them since the mid-90s. And so what a vision India Gospel Outreach has. Then you know about faith walking. I've talked about the impact that it's had in my life, making wholeness possible. Faith walking is a spiritual formation process where people are increasingly following the ways of Jesus, experiencing ongoing transformation, and developing effective principles and effective lifestyles for missional living. When I got involved in faith walking back more than a decade ago, I put it like this. Our vision of intimacy, community, and kingdom has captured my heart and transformed my life. That vision is a part of who I am. Faith walking took our vision to a level of intentionality that I actually didn't think was possible. It took it to a level of understanding and practice, and it has changed my life and still changing my life as I learned the principles and I practice joining Jesus on his mission. And we're a part of that movement that now has gone international. I'm on a call that has people from Canada and Great Britain and people from the U.S. And we have people being reached in Cambodia and people being reached in Latin America. It's just amazing what the Lord is doing in this movement. And we're getting to be a part of that together in the Lord. Then there's the Minister's Prayer Network with Apostle Mosi Madaba and Gloria, Apostle Gloria out of Nigeria. We're a part of what they're doing. The Minister's Prayer Network is an apostolic and prophetic network impacting the nations through prayer, equipping, evangelism, and missions. And we've been a part of their lives since the 90s, and they've been a part of us. And then we've got our Northwest Pastors in Prayer, our senior pastors prayer group that stands as gatekeepers. And what we want to do, we want to affirm the unity in the body of Christ. We want to celebrate our diversity, and we want to work for harmony among the believers. You see, a lot of people think that churches are in competition. We're not in competition with the church down the street. We're in cooperation because Jesus is the head. Amen? And as a matter of fact, as people go from church to church to church, it's really a good idea to be in good, healthy relationship with one another, right? And to bless those people and to release them and to send them with blessing. And so we've been doing our pastor's prayer group in our area since 1998, and we built real relationships of affection and sharing and prayer. And you're a part of that because we do things together in our community as gatekeepers. Well, there's just many other missionaries and ministries. But Calvary, that's just a smattering. That's just a taste of the ministries, the missionaries, and the partnerships that we have locally and globally. And Jesus says, when you give a cup of cold water in my name, you'll never lose its reward. Can you imagine the rewards as we tithe the missions as a church, and then you give way over and above that to missions, and then people from all over the place give through us to be a sending agency to these different ministries. Calvary, there is a reward for us because we're laying up treasure in the kingdom of God, and it's an eternal impact. It's an eternal reward, and I want you to celebrate our impact together with King Jesus and what he's doing. What does that look like for us as a church? Again, we're a people. I want you to hear this. This is our group identity as a congregation. We are a people who partner with Jesus on his mission together with others so that we minister in our spheres of influence in the earth, both locally and beyond. So again, hear me. We are partnering with Jesus, and we're not asking Jesus to come and bless us and bless our mission and help us to do what we want to do. There is a God who is on mission, isn't he? We've talked about that for years. Our God is active. He is at work. He's moving in the earth. And so what we want to do is partner with Jesus in what he's doing in the earth. And when I was growing up, we were taught to be involved with Jesus, but we were isolated individualists. And so I'm going to partner with Jesus, and I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. Or even local churches, you know, if you go back through the history of Houston, many local churches in Houston had a vision of reaching the whole of greater Houston by 2020 or by 2020, 2022, or by year 2000 or 1900. But you know, if we could do it alone, we'd have already reached this city, amen? Because people have had such vision. Did you know we were never meant to do the kingdom work of God alone? We are actually meant to partner together. So, like, take the Adopt-A-School, the partnership with schools. One of the reasons why I've shared this with you is because I want you to be infected. I want you to go to your workplace, and when you connect with other Christians there, and they begin to ask the question, what is God doing in our company, and what is he doing in the area around our company? You can raise your hand in the group and say, I wonder what would happen if our company adopted a local school in our area or in HISD. Would that make a difference? And is there a way that we could do that? See how practical this is? I pray that you'll carry an infection. I pray that you'll be one of those people that can cast vision and you can share. And they go, well, what does that look like? And you go, well, that's a great question, but there's a group called Loving Houston in Greater Houston that is helping to train and equip people not to go in and tell schools what we will do for you, but to find out what they need and then partner with those local schools. And by doing that, the church is on site, within sight, making a difference for the kingdom of God. So did you know you're a vision carrier today? Some of you are going, Pastor Jeff, I'm thinking about lunch. What are you talking about? Vision carrying. Okay, you're deputized to be a vision carrier, to carry the infection of joy in partnering with Jesus. So what does that look like? We've actually got members of our church, like Mike and Carol Monahan, who are partnering with Jesus in their subdivision. And they're doing ministries and small groups and things. We've got somebody like Dale Perry, who he shared his testimony a few weeks ago. God spoke a word, and now he's partnering with Jesus and others. They're praying for people every so often on a Saturday. There are people, you're doing incredible work in your neighborhoods, in your businesses. But we don't get to hear about those. But I'm raising the banner today and letting you know we join Jesus on his mission in partnership with others to advance his kingdom in our spheres of influence. And we do that not by taking over. We do that through the service and ministry of love and prayer and all the different ways that we show up as Christ followers. And so that's our identity. We serve the poor, the marginalized, and those in need. We work for the common good, and we partner with God who's restoring individuals, social systems, communities, and even nations to his intended design. That's our privilege and our partnership today. Our vision at Calvary, I mentioned earlier, really has grabbed my heart. It's intimacy, community, and kingdom. We want to establish people in intimacy with God. We want to express true Christian community, and we want to be a part of extending the kingdom of God in the earth. Our acronym is not really a good-sounding acronym. It's called ICK, I-C-K, ICK. But you can't forget it, right? That was an icky sermon someone told me the other day. Intimacy, community, and kingdom. That was very good, wasn't it, Cheryl? Thank you. We want to establish people in intimacy with God. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Jesus, God is perfectly at home in the Lord Jesus. Jesus is our model showing us how God wants to be at home in us. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And so Jesus shows us how to live a life full of God. And then he says that you have been given fullness in Christ. And so this Jesus lives in us. We were actually meant to be the home for the living God. The outcome of intimacy is that we would grow in our capacity for awareness of God. We mentioned this earlier, right? Most people don't know that the whole earth is full of the glory of God. One day, the knowledge of the glory of God, Habakkuk 2:14 says, will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. But we live unaware lives. The reason why we engage in spiritual practices is to grow our capacity for awareness. Like this morning, corporate worship, a spiritual practice, gratitude, a spiritual practice, and other spiritual practices sensitize us and help remove the illusion that God is absent, and we grow in our capacity to know what Jesus says. He says, I'm always with you, Matthew 28:20. I'll never leave you. Scripture repeats that over and over. We read in Philippians chapter 4 where God says, God is near. Near to who? Near to you. Oh, we need to grow in our awareness. And as we spend time with the Lord, we're transformed. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed from glory to glory into the same image as the Lord, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, a mirror in Paul's day was a piece of metal that you beat flat and you tried. It's not like our polished mirrors today. Our gives us an exact representation. I mean, it's something you're trying to look in and get a reflection of who you are. I want you to know, some of you think, I can't connect with God through prayer. I can't connect with him through my devotional reading. I came to church this morning and everybody's celebrating God, but I don't feel like I got anything. Did you know if you'll just position yourself before the Lord according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, you are transformed from glory to glory, whether you feel it or not? It's like going to the airport and you go through those security devices and there's something that's happening in your body. They can actually see a pretty clear picture of you today, can't they? Something is happening to you and you don't even feel it. You don't even know it. Oh, that we would become aware. Oh, that we would grow in our awareness of the living God. And then we express true Christian community. God not only wants to make his home in you as an individual, but he actually says, I have come to make my home in y'all. Well, he doesn't say y'all. It's you, and it's plural in the Greek. But he's come to make his home in us as a community of faith. In John chapter 17, verses 21 and following, Jesus cast the vision for our unity and our oneness with God and with one another. God wants unity. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, God's dwelling place is no longer in a temple of stones, but it's in the community of human hearts. We're being built together as a living temple where God dwells. Jesus is the cornerstone built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So God wants to be at home in us individually, establishing people in intimacy with God. And he wants us to express true Christian community where God is at home in us. 2 Corinthians 6:17, 16 and 17 says that we're God's temple, we're his house. And a temple is where people meet with God. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will live with them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. So come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 through 17. We want God to be at home in us corporately. We want him to make his residence here. And the truth is, there's things he wants in his house and things he doesn't want in his house. Just like in your house, it's a reflection of your personality and your likes and your dislikes. And so we want God to feel comfortable here. And one of the core outcomes of community, how do you know if you're growing in community, is authenticity? Are you learning to be open and honest with others? Open. Now, I'm not saying best friends with everybody. But do you have a safe place where you're able to grow in your capacity to be honest, to be open? The Bible says it like this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 17. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When we walk in authenticity, or James 5:16 just says it like this, if you confess your faults one to another and have others pray for you, you'll be healed. I visit with people all the time and they've never had anybody pray for them because they never asked. They never had the courage to be able to say, this is where I am and this is what I'm going through. Would you pray for me? I need help. I need boldness. I need strength. I need grace. I need mercy. I need healing. Calvary, I'm so glad that we're growing in awareness, we're growing in authenticity, and then we want to express, we want to extend the kingdom of God in the earth, and we want to express the kingdom of God in our lives, and we do that together on mission with the Lord Jesus, and God's vision is he wants to be at home in the whole earth. So think about it. God's making his home in you as an individual, which, by the way, should blow your mind. The God who fills the universe can make his home in you. A picture of a galaxy popped up on my Apple Watch. I'm so grateful for Siri. She never listens to me when I need her. In Revelation chapter 21:3, God says he wants to make his home and his dwelling with us. The scripture says this, now the dwelling of God is with men and he will live with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them and he will be their God. This theme of God making his home, bringing heaven and earth together, is from Genesis to Revelation. That's a major theme of scripture. The primary outcome of extending the kingdom of God in the earth is two things. The primary outcomes are, is alignment and action. Alignment and action. When you read the book of Acts, you'll read this phrase, the way. These were people of the way in Acts chapter 9:2. They were the people of the way of Jesus, Acts 18:25. And just over and over, it talks about a way. What does it mean, a way? Well, listen, we've given this illustration several times, but I like golf. I enjoy golf. And what if I just go out and say, I'm just going to be Jordan Spieth or Tiger Woods. I'm just going to become them. If I'm going to become them in golf, I'm going to need to do some of the practices and the skills and learn some of the mental components that help make them who they were, right? I can't just go out and start being that person. You know, a few years ago, there was a phrase, WWJD, what would Jesus do? So many people are asking that. But the truth is, we hadn't trained, we hadn't practiced, so how can we do what Jesus does? Like, how can we have grace in the moment if we've not learned how to be silent, withdrawn with the Lord so that we could hear his voice in the quiet so we could hear him in the public place, right? So there's spiritual practices. That's why they actually called it the way. And they called it a cult, by the way, because they said they're of the cult, the way, because they weren't Jewish. No, we're not of a cult. We're following the man, Christ Jesus. And he has some ways of showing up in the world that are pretty different, like loving your enemy, like differentiating, where he was able to individuate and be who he was supposed to be and yet work to stay connected, even with the people that were trying to trap him and kill him. There's another thing. Y'all just bow in worship when you think about Jesus and who he is. And you ought to go, this is awesome. He wants me to be like him. Well, how do we do that? Well, we align with the way of Jesus and we get in action. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. If anyone loves my Father and loves me, we'll come and make our home in them because they're the people who will do the will of God. We want to be a people of alignment with the way of Jesus. By the way, when the world tells you to treat others with rage and to seek revenge and to live in fear and anger, let's just say that's not the way of Jesus. Amen? There is a way of Jesus. And he reveals himself in Scripture. He reveals himself to us. So there's an alignment with the way of Jesus, and there's action, there's obedience that we do as he prompts us, as he leads us. So we're not here to specialize in one part of our vision. Rather, our vision is a way to step out with our King and to experience transformation. So what I'm trying to say is you're actually transformed with intimacy with God as you grow in your ability to relate in community, and as we grow in our ability to partner with Jesus in his mission, we're transformed. It's a mental model of transformation. It's not just a cool vision. It's actually the way that God changes us. See why I like our vision? It's the way God changes us. And so, are you growing in awareness of God? Are you growing in your capacity to be authentic, to walk in the light with God and with others? Are you growing in your capacity to align with the way of Jesus and to get in action around what he's telling you? You know, some of us, as we're following Jesus, when he asks us to do something, there's a really big disobedience, right? We argue in them, is that God? Is that not God? You know, and we want to get that really down where we obey really quickly. Amen? That's progress, right? How are you doing? Then we partner with Jesus by praying, giving, and going. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, when he looked out at the harvest, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that God would send out laborers into his harvest fields. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, in the church at Antioch, the religious, the spiritual leaders there were gathered worshiping and fasting. And then the Holy Spirit showed up and said, hey, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the task that I have for them. And the missions movement exploded from the church to go to the different nations of the earth. Where did that happen? It happened in the place of prayer, in the place of worship, in the place of fasting, in the place of seeking the Lord. God wants us to be a praying people. Calvary, that's our DNA, and I want to cast vision for that and remind you, like Mufasa said to Simba, remember who you are. You're a people of prayer. And then giving. In Romans chapter 10, the scripture says, verse 14, how can they call on the one whom they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? It's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In this world today, we're a part of what God's doing as we pray for the kingdom of God and what Jesus is doing in his people, and as we give, otherwise people can't go. Now, I support different missionaries and different people that are able to go places that I'm not able to go. And it's a joy. I'm sowing into them, and I'm reaping the eternal benefit because we're in partnership with them as I pray for them, as in I give. And that's where my treasure is. There's places I can't go to, but I can sure support them. And then there's going. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 28 to 20, you've heard the Great Commission. It says, go and make disciples of all the nations, of all the people groups. That word go is actually a participle, as you go, make disciples. So we're supposed to be a people of prayer, We're supposed to be a people of giving, and we're supposed to be a people of going. As you're in your sphere of influence, look for what Jesus is doing and bless it. He's involved in your family. He's involved in your neighborhood. He's involved in your workplace, your school place. Let's partner with him in what he's doing. And the Lord said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "And you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." So it starts with our neighborhood place, our local place, but it actually expands to go across different cultures, even to the rest of the world. God wants us to go. God wants us to be a part of bringing. Acts chapter 13, verse 47, bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So here's a reality check. Everyone is called to pray, everyone is called to give, and everyone is called to go. Not everyone can pray day and night, but we can all pray some. Not everyone can give the same amount, but we can all give something. And not everyone is called to go to a foreign mission field, but we can all partner with Jesus in our spheres of influence with others, and we can support someone where we can't go. Pray, give, and go. So today, Calvary, we've had the opportunity to celebrate from a fire hydrant what the Lord is doing in and through us to advance his kingdom in the earth. We're a people who partner with Jesus on his mission together with others in our spheres of influence for the sake of the kingdom. And our desire is we really want the knowledge of the glory of God to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. We want people to know how good our God is and what a partnership that we have. So I want to thank you for praying. I want to thank you for giving. I want to thank you for going with the Lord Jesus Christ in your spheres of influence through this church. And thank you for partnering with us locally and globally to touch the nations for King Jesus. Let's stand. But I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "You add to the body just as you will." And no part can say to another part of the body, that passage goes on to say that one part is less important than another. Lord, I want to thank you for everyone that you've joined here to Calvary. I thank you for every member, for every regular attender. I thank you for our guests. And Lord, while I'm thinking about it, Lord, I want to ask you to lead our guests to find their church home, their church community. Lord, would you help them to find their place in the net in partnership with you? Lord, I know that your sheep hear your voice. I pray that you'll lead them to be a part of what we're doing here. We've been asking you to add laborers to this harvest field. But Lord, if it's not here, I pray you'll speak to them and lead them to that place. Even right now, Lord, bear witness with them. But Lord, thank you for this community of faith. Thank you for what we've been able to do from this little community in Northwest Houston. Lord, we want to tell you again, thank you for calling us for such a time as this. Thank you for calling us to Greater Houston. Lord, we love this community. Thank you for placing us at this strategic time, in this strategic place, for the sake of our nation and for the sake of the nations of the world. Lord, thank you that we are a part of what you're doing throughout the earth, through these partnerships, through our friends, through our relationships and ministries with which we're connected. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for how members and partners in this church are touching their neighborhoods, their schools, their businesses right around us. Thank you. Lord Jesus, you said it was to the Father's glory in John chapter 15 that we bear much fruit and that our fruit remain. Lord, would you help us to bear more fruit for you in Jesus' name? And Lord, would you help our fruit to remain? I'm asking for my life. I'm asking for our life. So the next 40 years, Lord, will go above and beyond what we could ask, think, or imagine. Lord, thank you for the partnership of our friends online. We bless them today and give you thanks for their lives. Thank you for them. Thank you. So, Lord, would you do us a favor? We're kind of distracted as a people in our culture today. Would you help break distraction off of us? Lord, we did the spiritual warfare sermons and messages. God, would you please break the grip of fear off of our lives and off of our nation? And would you break the grip of anger off of us and off of this nation? I heard someone was thinking or feeling, God can't use me. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of that lie. I wished I could sing that song Joshua taught us, I am who the I am says I am. A son and daughter of God Most High, an ambassador, a disciple, a witness, a messenger, a partner, a family member. We break the power of that lie that God can't use me in Jesus' name. Lord, for those that are hurting, those that are in need, I pray, God, for miracle supply. I pray for resources of healing, salvation, deliverance, and encouragement. Lord, I ask where people are needing literally a financial breakthrough, I ask for a miracle in Jesus' name. As our ministry team members come forward to pray, we are here to pray with you. And we want to pray with you. We want to stand with you. Whatever it is that you need prayer for, these teams are here. We've seen people experience literal physical healing, documented medical touches. We've seen people experience breakthroughs because God is the way maker. We've seen people experience healing of the heart or encouragement. People have given their lives to Jesus. Maybe you don't know the way of Jesus because you don't know the way maker, Jesus himself. Come to one of these teams and say, I want to know this Jesus that y'all are talking about today. We'd love to help you with that. And as you leave today, I want to remind you, put your offerings in the offering basket and the connection cards there. You online, please connect with us via the connection card. Lord, thank you for the chance to celebrate what our King is doing today. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the other churches. As we prayed at the earlier in our service with Lorinda's help, we bless all the churches in Northwest Houston and beyond throughout Greater Houston. And we pray that together we will be a church on fire, full of unity, love, and desire, holy desire for the Holy One. And I pray you'll send these people into the sound of my voice today with new favor, with new anointing, with new grace, with new resources in this season. And may we carry a holy infection as your witnesses wherever we go. And we pray this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode from Calvary Community Church Podcast. For more content and information about Calvary Community Church, please visit our website at calvaryhouston.com.